Thank you, Brother Al. Howdy. How you all tonight? Well, I tell you, it looks good to look out there and see all these bright, smiling faces this time of day, especially Sunday evening. Well, I just wish I could say that I've got something new and exciting to bring to you, but I don't. I have the same old routine. I have the same old thing. It's more of the scriptures, more of the things that we read every day and we carry with us. We've got probably two or three Bibles and Books of Mormon in our bookcases at home. And we can read it and read it and read it and read it. And it's something you never tire of. I don't anyway. And I've never ran into a point where I've been bored when I was reading it. It's always got some stuff in there that's important that we need to be assigning ourselves to. Looks like we're just about finished with another year. This year's got, what, five more days left? Then we get to start a brand new year. Wipe the slate clean, got a brand new year, we get to start all over again. We do that every year. That's one of the fortunate things about life. We get to start all over with a clean slate the 1st of January of every year. Now, what we do with it after that's entirely up to us. We've all been taught and we've all studied and we all know what we're supposed to do. The difficult part is getting it all done. But we can do it. Let's see here. Get this thing a little closer so I can read it. Let's see. There's some things we can do that would make it much better, make it a much better year for us. One of which would be to do our best to not be so reserved and bashful when talking about the Lord and about the Scriptures, either at home or in public with others. About the love we have for our Heavenly Father. And I'm sure we all have an abundant supply of that in our hearts. We have to. We could be more bold and share our love of God that we have in our hearts with others as many times as we have the opportunity. There are many souls, many lost souls in the world, and there sure are that. They're probably waiting to hear about the love we have for the Lord and how much He has helped us in the tough times and the troubled times in our lives. Because I imagine they've had some tough times and some troubled times in their lives. I lost my place. As well as the blessings we've received in good times in our lives. I'm sure you've all thought at one time or another about trying to give someone a helping hand spiritually. We all do. Perhaps if we did a little more, it would be very gratifying to us, especially if we could help even one lost soul this year, even one. To want to love, to want to find the love that God has for them, as we have. When we do this during the year, think of how good it would be for you, plus the big smile you would receive from the Lord for helping one of His lost sheep. Don't shy away from talking about how good God's been to you. This may even encourage the other person, and that's what we need to do, that hears you, and perhaps they would even come to the church to find out for themselves how wonderful God and His Son Jesus Christ are. Once again, this sad part about this year, as we start the year, we're involved, us and a lot of other countries in the world are involved in yet another war. You know, I think I said this same thing last year. I think I used that same sentence, as a matter of fact. We're involved in yet another war. It seems like we continually fight wars. A war on terrorism and dictatorship. This has a serious effect in all of our lives. Many of our young men and women are fighting to help other countries to find or establish something that we presently enjoy in our country. That is our freedom and the liberty for our families to worship God and to own property, plus the freedom to elect the officials and the liberty to choose a church that we want to be affiliated with, because the people that we're fighting right now don't have any of those things. They're told what to do, and they have to do it, or they kill them. It's getting better, though. It's getting better, because the influence of our people over there are helping to bring things back around. They have a government set up now that the people in that country are attempting to run their own country, develop their own police force, and to get a little bit of the civil things you have to have in order to have a country that's filled with millions of people. Doesn't it seem strange that in a world as modern as we are, there are so many people who refuse to want to know about God and how powerful He is? It is to me. We're told in the Book of Mormon that the armies fought to preserve their freedom, the right to worship God, and their liberty for their families and their lands. That's in Alma 20 and 28, and Ether, the third chapter, and 3 Nephi, the first chapter. Today our armed forces fight and die for much, very much the same reason. Just being able to be here tonight is one of those rights. We should remember that. It's a privilege for us to be here. And God's given us that the right to be here, so we can enjoy and talk about and to discuss what He has in His history books for us to follow. I'm so thankful for each one who is willing to help protect these rights for us, so we will not become a nation of captives. Praise the Lord. I'd like to read a little here in the third chapter of Nephi. It's on page 314 if you'd like to follow along. Well, it's close to 314. How about 313? Third chapter and first verse. These are the words of Alma. He's talking to the people. This begins with Alma asking his people some questions. As I go through this, and you follow along, you might ask yourselves how you might answer these questions if Alma were talking to you. Now it came to pass that Alma began to deliver the words of God unto the people, first in the land of Zarahemla, and from thence throughout all the land. And these are the words which he spake to the people in the church, which was established in the city of Zarahemla, according to his own records, saying, I, Alma, having been consecrated by the father Alma to be a high priest over the church of God, he having power and the authority from God to do these things, behold, I say unto you that he began to establish a church in the land which was in the borders of Nephi, yea, the land which was called the land of Mormon. Yea, and he did baptize his brethren in the waters of Mormon, and behold, I say unto you, they were delivered out of the hands of the people of King Noah by the mercy and power of God. And they can do that. God can deliver us out of the mess that we're in over there in, Iraq and Iran and all of those other little towns or cities or countries over there that seem to have gone so wild. God could snap his fingers and they'd all be wiped out. That's what those people need to understand. But behold, after they were brought into bondage by the hands of the Lamanites in the wilderness, yea, I say unto you, they were in captivity. And again, the Lord did deliver them out of bondage by the power of his word. And we were brought into this land, and here we began to establish the church of God throughout this land also. And now, behold, I say unto you, my brethren, you that belong to this church, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance the captivity of your fathers? Yea, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance his mercy and long-suffering towards them? And moreover, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance that he has delivered their souls from hell? Behold, he changed their hearts. Yea, he awakened them out of a deep sleep, and they awoke unto God. Behold, they were in the midst of darkness. Nevertheless, their souls were illuminated by the light of the everlasting word. Yea, they were encircled about by the bands of death and the chains of hell, and everlasting destruction did await them. And now I ask you, my brethren, were they destroyed? Behold, I say unto you, nay, they were not. And again I ask, were the bands of death broken? And the chains of hell which encircled them about, were they loosened? And I say unto you, yea. They were loosened, and their souls did expand, and they did sing redeeming love. And I say unto you that they are saved. And now I ask you, on what condition are they saved? Yea, what grounds had they to hope for salvation? What is the cause of them being loosed from the bands of death? Yea, and also the chains of hell. Behold, I can tell you, did not your father Ammon believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? And he was not a holy prophet. Did he not speak the words of God, and my father Alma believed them? And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you, that this is all true. Excuse me. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts, and they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. Now, where else would you want to put your trust? What else could you trust with your life like you would the Lord? Not very many places. And behold, they were faithful until the end. Therefore, they were saved. And now, behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received the image in your countenance? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? And I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that you hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me and be blessed, for behold, your work has been the work of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Or do you imagine to yourselves that you can lie unto the Lord in that day? Mm-mm. And say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that he will save you? Or otherwise, can you imagine yourselves brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt, yea, a perfect remembrance of all of your wickedness, yea, a remembrance that ye have set in defiance the commandments of God? Whew. I say unto you, can you look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can you look up having the image of God engraven upon your countenances? I say unto you, can you think of being saved when you have yielded yourselves to become subjects to the devil? I say unto you, ye will know at that day that ye cannot be saved, for there can no man be saved except his garments are washed white. Yea, his garments must be purified until they are cleansed from all the stain through the blood of him of whom it has been spoken by our fathers who should come to redeem the people from their sins. It's a long reading, but it's pretty plain. There's a lot of questions there. And as I read down through that, I thought, you got to think a lot when you're reading that. There's a lot of questions there. I hope I pass. The people were awakened and humbled themselves and put their trust in the Lord. How about us? Have we been awakened to the fact that our lives are in the hand of the Lord? I'm certain we have. Because we have the history books which explain this to us, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And a lot of other history books that we can go to that are factual. Now we have a work to do. Hanging on to the truth. Increasing our faith. Serving the Lord. And keeping His commandments. And seeing that our garments are washed white. We have to see to that. We have to take care of that ourselves. Nobody's going to do that for you. Nobody's going to do that for any of us. We have to do that ourselves. But if you don't, I don't like the results of what you're going to have to look forward to. Or we are going to have to look forward to. We can go over to 3 Nephi on page 630-something. 631. Got that one right. This is where Jesus Christ shows himself unto the people. And now it came to pass that there was a great multitude gathered together of the people of Nephi round about the temple, which was in a land bountiful. And they were marveling and wondering one with another, and were shewing one to another the great and marvelous change which has taken place. And they were also conversing about this Jesus Christ, of which the signs had been given concerning his death. And it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice, as if it came out of heaven. And they cast their eyes round about, and they understood not the voice which they heard. I know this all sounds repetitive, and I know you've all heard it before. But just bear with me and listen one more time. And it was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice. Neither, and notwithstanding it being a small voice, it did pierce them that did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that it did not cause to quake. Yea, it did pierce them to the very soul, and did cause them to hear, cause their hearts to burn. Now, if you heard something that affected you that drastically, would you pay attention to it? Would you wonder what it was? Boy, I would. And it came to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. And again the third time they did hear the voice, and did open up their ears to hear it, and rise were towards the sound thereof. And they did look steadfastly towards heaven, from whence the sounds came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard. And it said unto them, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up again towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. And he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them, and the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouth, even one to another, and wist not what it meant. For they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand, and he spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ. Of which the prophets, of which the prophets testified should come into the world. Excuse me. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world. And I have drunk out of the cup that I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father had given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, the whole multitude fell to the earth. They remembered that it had been prophesied among them that Christ should show himself unto them after his ascension into heaven. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise and come forth unto me, that you may thrust your hands into my side, and also that you may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and my feet, that you may know that I am the God of Israel, and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. And it came to pass that the multitude went forth, and they thrust their hands into his side, and they did feel the prints of the nails in his hands and his feet. And this they did do, going forth one by one, until they had all gone forth and did see with their eyes and did feel with their hands and did know of a surety, and did bear record that it was he of whom it was written by the prophets should come. And it came to pass that when they had all gone forth and had witnessed for themselves, they did cry out with one accord, saying, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Most High God. And they fell down at the feet of Jesus and did worship him. And it came to pass that he spake unto Nephi, for Nephi was among the multitude, and he commanded him that he should come forth. And Nephi arose and went forth and bowed himself before the Lord and did kiss his feet. And the Lord commanded him that he should arise, and he arose and stood before him. And the Lord said unto him, I give you power that ye shall baptize this people. And when I am ascended into heaven, and again the Lord called others, and said unto them, likewise, and he gave unto them power to baptize. And he saith unto them, on this wise shall ye baptize, and there shall be no disputations among you. And that's when Jesus gave the power to his ministry to do the baptizing. That's why it's such a strong bond, because the power came from Jesus himself to the ministry, to you, to us, each one. He said it did pierce them to the very soul and did cause their hearts to burn within them. Then God introduced his son, their savior, to them. This is when I just got through saying that. We have to become worthy of the baptism given us by God. Life is rather cruel sometimes, and it attempts to take our attention away from the Lord. And it does that. Things creep in, like debts and sicknesses, things that we have to take care of. And it tries to steal our attention away from God. And the priorities that we've given him have been reduced because we have other things that seem to require more attention of ours at that time. But you got to remember. We've got to remember. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to that man that ascended down here that I just got through reading about. And he will fulfill his responsibility only and if we fulfill our responsibility. We should never let this. We should have a strong faith and go forward with the determination that we will serve God. We have to have the determination in us. And here again, that's something nobody else is going to give you. It's something you have to develop in yourself. You have to determine whether you will or whether you won't. Do you want to or do you not want to? Do you realize the consequences if you elect not to? And speaking of determination, let's continue in the book of Joshua. I think Joshua had some pretty strong determination, too. I want to open it to the 24th chapter of Joshua. And I'm going to start with the first two verses, and then I'm going to move down to the 14th verse. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel. All the tribes of Israel, not just one or two, every one of them. He gathered them all together in one area to Shechem, and on called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times, even Terah, and the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And now I've got to say there's a lot in between here and the 14th verse, but I want to drop on down there because you're welcome to go back and read that because it is very interesting. But he gathered all these people together. They was having problems. They gathered all these people together, and he was going to talk to them now. It says, Now therefore, in the 14th verse, Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served from the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. In other words, it's decision time. Zero hour has arrived. You make up your mind right now. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the floods, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord, our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all of the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. God did that. The people knew they did that. But Joshua was strong enough to stand up and say, me and my family are going to serve the Lord. Now, you folks are going to have to make up your own mind. I don't know how many thousands of people there must have been around that he was talking to. But somebody had to make a decision, and most of them said, okay, well, maybe we ought to listen to that man and follow him. In my own terminology there. Now, Joshua was a personal aide and a military commander for Moses. It's an interesting little tidbit I found out. And the name Joshua means the Lord of salvation. I thought that was interesting too. Joshua's determination was sure and strong when he made the announcement of whom he and his people would serve. The examples were very important to the future success of his families. Isn't our decision just as important to us now? We all want to follow the good examples of our forefathers. They suffered so much in the past in an effort to draw close to our Heavenly Father. We don't want that. We don't want all their sufferings to be for nothing. We have a great opportunity presently to set examples for our own families. This should give us a stronger desire to serve God. We have a golden opportunity to establish a firm foundation for us right now as we prepare to enter into another new year. Not in the form of a resolution, but in the form of a commitment. And you have to be determined that you will carry through on your commitment. When we all work earnestly to serve the Lord, he will give us all the strength, help, and wisdom we need to fulfill our commitments to him. We'll go over to James now. Second chapter of James, verse 1. Seems like I start an awful lot of my readings with verse 1. But this will be a short one. My brethren, have not the faith of our Father, or our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come a man with a poor man, in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in this good place, and say unto the poor, Stand thou there, or sit thou under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of the world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised unto them that love him? He did. God has chosen the poor of the world. Why? And James says he did it because the poor in spirit of the world are rich in faith and are the heirs of the kingdom which God has promised them. This is another good example for us. Perhaps one thing that hinders us is that we have too much respect and admiration for the rich man's way of life. They have a lot of toys, is what I call them, worldly things that we don't have. Things like big new cars and huge expensive homes, and I mean expensive homes, extremely large pieces of property and all the toys that come with them. There's only one problem with that. Bad thing about this, the worldly stuff is that none of them will help you find our way into heaven. You have all the money in the world and be the poorest person when it comes time for your salvation. When roll call is called, you want to be there. This is what we have to strive for while we're here on this earth. I want to go over to 2 John for just a minute. 1 John, 2nd chapter. Well, I can't even find the first chapter. There it is. I put my bookmark too many pages in front of where I wanted to go. Verse 3. Now, let's go ahead and start with the first. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, our righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If, or perhaps maybe I should say, when we do slip or commit sins, we have someone to help us out. It says in 1 John that he's called Jesus Christ the righteous. I, for one, feel so thankful to have someone who can straighten things out with God when my blunders do happen, because I make a lot of them. What a wonderful blanket of protection we've been provided with in the love which Jesus Christ provides for us. Just think about how much the Lord has to love us to put up with us and some of the shenanigans that we go through in our lifetime. I'm thankful he's so patient. I want to go over now to 1 John 4th chapter. I want to start with the first verse again. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Therefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. I think I talked about that one time when I was up here, about the Antichrist being here, and I think it was on a certain day in September when they flew the planes into the buildings in New York City. It's on my granddaughter's birthday. Pretty horrific birthday present. But that was all happened because of the Antichrist, the people that had no love at all for God They profess there was no God. They have somebody else that they call their supreme being. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his sons to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. It says for all of us to love one another, for the love is of God. I realize at times this is a tough assignment. But if we do, what we do need to remember is the kind of help we have available to us to do this. It's up to us to use good judgment when we're faced with something tough to decide. We should always remember that we have God and his Son Jesus Christ out there all the time to help us. We're only required to ask sincerely, and the help will be there for us. That's all that's required. Let's all love God, keep his commandments, honor his Son. Above all, study hard, read the books for knowledge, so that we will know what the written word tells us to do in just about any situation in our lives. And I thank you all very much for your time and your patience and for not giggling. And may God bless you each one, and may you have a happy and a prosperous year, 2005.
Monday night is study class, 7 p.m. Wednesday is prayer service at 7. And there's a note here that Saturday the YPCL will have no organized activity, except to wish you all, and we all wish you all, a happy new year. Randy had asked me before the service if he could make an announcement. You want to do that now? Yep.
And I want to tell you, I for one, my Christmas is not over. He's got an overstuffed room in his house. I'm not going to go into details. He's got a bunch of kids. He's got no place to stay. And that's when I was there, they talked about some roof creek that he got. I don't know. He put up a little room on top. They put the roof. I could have some places to put some pots and pans. Maybe sometime in some distant future life. I like that. I like this one. I'm going to do that myself. I'm committed to do that. I am going to do that. I hope I'm not alone. And so I'd like to join together with you for a Christmas trip. Anybody that would feel like that it is a crime, I want to take your money and my money down there, and I'm going to start a bill. And there's some poor and poverty guys down there who haven't had a job all year. We can give them a job this year. We can give a couple of girls a little